unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our risen Redeemer and ever-living Lord, dear fellow redeemed, we are living in the Epiphany season of the church year. Last Sunday, we remembered the visit of the wise men from the East who journeyed to Jerusalem and who inquired then where the new king of Jerusalem had been born. Their request was very upsetting, particularly to King Herod, who felt that they were announcing a rival for his throne. After they were informed by the religious leaders that the Old Testament prophet Micah had written that the promised Savior would be born in Bethlehem, they left Herod and journeyed on to Bethlehem, where they worshiped the Savior and their Lord. Being warned by God in a dream that they should not go back to King Herod, they departed for their own country another way. The wise men from the East were fulfilling the words of prophecy that were written by the prophet Isaiah, who foretold that the Savior would come and Gentiles would come to worship that Savior. 750 years before Jesus was ever born, the prophet Isaiah foretold the coming of Jesus as the light of the world, the promised Messiah and Savior. And we who believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior are asked by God to proclaim that message of the light of the world to people everywhere. Our worship theme for this morning then is, Let Your Light Shine. Our text is recorded in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, beginning at verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes all around and see. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from afar, and your daughters shall be nursed at your side. Then you shall see and become radiant, and your heart shall swell with joy, because the abundance of the sea shall be turned to you. The wealth of the Gentiles shall come to you. The multitude of camels shall cover your land, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall proclaim the praises of the Lord. Jesus is the light of the Christmas season. Jesus is also the light of the Epiphany season. Jesus is the light for any and every season, because Jesus is called the light of the world. Through the glorious gospel light, that message of forgiveness, peace, and pardon through faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus, he comes into our hearts and we are welcomed as members in God's family. The Holy Spirit, working through the light of the gospel, enlightens us and brings us to put our faith and our trust in Jesus as the Son of God and the only Savior. This is what we also confess in the explanation to the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gift, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. Even as he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. Now, if that light within our hearts begins to flicker and fade away or grow dim, we need to ask ourselves, what kind of a faith do we really have? Do we really believe in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, as our only Savior? Or do we have some sort of a faith in some kind of a Savior that we have dreamed up on our own? Faithfully, we must look into God's enlightening word recorded in Holy Scripture. We have His true word recorded for us in the Old and the New Testament, in the whole Bible, which is the only source and norm for all of our Christian teaching. We don't look to other places. We look only to His holy word. Now, how does Scripture present Jesus? It presents Him as the light of the world, the Son of God, and our only Savior. During the days of His public ministry, the Lord Jesus always proclaimed Himself as the light of the world. He's the light that gave life and faith and hope to people then, and He's the light that enlightens us now and gives us faith and hope in Him. On the first Good Friday, on the cross of Christ, above the head of Jesus, this shining light was posted in three different languages. It was posted in Hebrew, the language of the scattered people of Israel. It was posted in Greek, which was the language of the world culture at that particular time. And it was posted in Latin, the language of the large Roman Empire. Beneath the cross were assembled representatives of three different continents, Europe, Asia, and Africa. From that cross of Christ comes this enlightening message of how much God loves us and sent His Son, who conquered sin, death, and the devil for us and all people. From the cross, we journey to the open, empty tomb, and there we behold the light of Easter. The darkness and the power of death and the devil were destroyed by our resurrected Lord. By His life, His death, and His resurrection, He conquered all of the powers of darkness, sin, death, and the power of the devil. And by His resurrection, these were all conquered, and the world is given the glorious message, we are enlightened by our resurrected and ever-living Lord. For many people, the light of Christmas has already gone out. The post-Christmas season, for a lot of people, is really a time of darkness, because the Christmas that they celebrated was only a celebration in outward things, the things of this world. Anyone who really didn't see Jesus as the light of Christmas is still in spiritual darkness. The light of God's word must continue to shine into our hearts and lives, and that's possible by the Holy Spirit working through this word of God, the word of the gospel, touching our hearts, converting us, that is, turning us around from darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. Think of how this word of God has enlightened people in every generation. Isaiah spoke about it. All of the prophets wrote about it. Scripture is filled with examples of how the light of God's word removes people's fears, dries their tears, puts hope into hearts, brings joy into lives. All this because of its enlightening power that turns us out of darkness into glorious light. Almost 275 years ago, George Handel withdrew himself from society almost completely for a period of 23 days. And during that particular time, he devoted his attention to to a careful study of the scriptural promises and references in the Bible with reference to Christ's coming. And then he set those words to music. He became so engrossed in his study and in his work that at times he forgot to eat. Seldom did he leave the room. And after 24 days, he produced that masterpiece, that world-renowned piece, The Messiah. According to a friend who observed him at work, he said Handel cried as he set the words of the prophet Isaiah to music. These words, referring to the promised Savior, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." As Handel wrote the final words to that famous Hallelujah chorus, he said that he felt as if he were in heaven and as if he had actually seen God. Through the study of God's word and that message of salvation gained for us by the promised Messiah and Savior, Handel was strengthened in his faith. Later in life, after he turned totally blind, first on one eye and then on the other, some of his friends tried to persuade him to give up all of this talk about the Christian faith. However, according to reports, he kept his faith in Jesus as the light of the world who had enlightened him. Through the gospel of Christ, he was enlightened just as you and I are enlightened, brought out of spiritual darkness into the glorious light of the gospel. Now, we're also told that we are to let our light shine for the sake of others. We who've been enlightened by the gospel should be lights in the world. In his Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify, not you, but glorify your Father who is in heaven." Our whole lives should be a light for the sake of others. What we say and what we do should be something that would call other people out of spiritual darkness into the light of the gospel. God would bring others to the light through you and me, our lives that we live, and the witness that we give with our lips. The Lord reminds us in the Epiphany season, "Let your light shine." The prophet Isaiah, who himself had been enlightened by the word of the gospel, had grasped that vision for the need for that light to get out into the world for others. And he foretold how Christ, the light of the world, would shine unto the ends of the earth. This is a vision that you and I also have to capture. The Savior wants us to have a vision of the many souls that are out there in spiritual darkness and need to be enlightened. This Epiphany vision has to take hold of our hearts so that we see what the Savior described as fields white unto harvest is a reference to all of the people out there in the world, not just hundreds or thousands, but millions, who are still spiritually in darkness. They have no hope beyond this life. When we believe, really believe, who Jesus is, and when we know, really know, what we are and also what others are, namely sinners, and when we have seen Christ as our only Savior who loved us and redeemed us, then we are prepared to let our light shine. When we know that Jesus is the only way of salvation, as he himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except me. And when that light of the gospel shines into our hearts, then we become Epiphany Christians, letting our own light shine for the sake of others. Today, people need this Epiphany vision throughout the world, and it is in need as it never was before. We need to realize that we are really debtors to God. We owe God. He loved us. He saved us. He called us out of spiritual darkness. He made us members of his family. We have a debt to God to be, as Paul says, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. We owe it also to others, what God has done for us. We must see what we really are and what others really are. We are all sinners. And then see and know and believe that Jesus is the one and only Savior for all people. This is the thing that's really important and really counts in our lives. Now, of course, we spend our days with, as we would say, with pots and pans and with books and papers and behind desks and working with machines, with driving and flying, with coming and going, with working and playing, with buying and selling, and with many more things. All of these things with which we become so involved are inclined to hem us in, and life often becomes a routine with an effort. We have to do what we have to do in order to live on. But we have to do what God wants us to do. Let our light shine for the sake of others. We need an Epiphany vision, which will open the door of our lives. We need to, so to speak, fill our lungs with the fresh air and the good news of the gospel, which will move us to speak and to sing and to give all glory to God. We need an Epiphany vision that will see a world created by God, a world which has forsaken God, and a world that fails to give all glory to God. We are living in this evil world that dishonors God, and it seeks to dethrone him. Everywhere, people are trying to get God out of our lives. And when that happens, we are headed down the broad way that leads to nothing but trouble. Will you and I let our Epiphany light shine in the year 2015? Oh, that each of us would be a greater and a brighter light than we have been in the past. We are still standing on the threshold of the new year. And may God give each of us a greater faith, a greater portion of the Holy Spirit to guide us, to lead us, and to let our light shine. And then we will be in a position to proclaim to others the glorious faith and hope that we have. And we don't have to do it in magnificent words, but we can come with a childlike faith. This little gospel light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine all the time. Amen. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you are the creator, possessor, and giver of all things spiritual and temporal. We bring to you the offerings of our hearts and hands, and we pray, receive them and bless them, and let us never become weary in well-doing. Let the gift of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, move us to become more and more willing to give unto you the things that are yours, so that your gospel may be proclaimed to every creature, and many immortal souls be saved. This we ask in the name of Jesus, your Son and our Savior. Amen. Heavenly Father, on every hand are those who despise your commandments and live according to the lust of the flesh. Truly, they are in the grip of the prince of darkness and live in the shadow of eternal death. But we too deserve only punishment, for our sinful natures lead us daily into all manner of sin. How thankful we ought to be, merciful Father, that you have pierced the darkness of the sinful world and of our own hearts with the glorious light of salvation revealed in the gospel. You loved us and sent Jesus to pay for our sins, and by the Holy Spirit have turned our hearts from unbelief to faith in our Redeemer. Dear Lord Jesus, give to each of us the joys of heart and the peace of mind that accompany faith. Never leave us. Fill us with your love, that Satan may never again have dominion over us. Live in us that we might live for you, and that others may see you in our lights. Pardon our many sins, heal our bodies of illnesses according to your good pleasure, and relieve those who are suffering heartache and pain. Give a new sense of purpose to the lives of those who feel useless and dejected. Uphold the faint-hearted and strengthen the weak. Deliver the oppressed. Fill our hearts with the warm glow of your love. Holy Spirit, come. Chase away the black clouds of gloom and sin and unbelief that threaten every heart. Shine with the bright beams of your gospel, that sinners everywhere may turn from their sins to their Savior. Equip each of us so that we might become effective witnesses of your grace and love. Give us thankful hearts to fill the Lord's treasury with our temporal goods, that missionaries can be sent out into all parts of the world to labor in fields white unto harvest. Bless the word which is preached to souls across our land, and especially bless the unselfish efforts of your kingdom workers everywhere, in far-off places where Satan has raised many barriers to the gospel. Never leave us, or forsake us, or permit us to lose our hold on eternal life through impenitence and unbelief. Rid us of all spiritual carelessness, and make us diligent in fulfilling our Christian duties. All this we pray in the name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, our only Lord and Savior. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "All of you drink of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. We thank you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this saving gift, and we pray that in your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.